Welcome to the FemNation podcast, where we wholeheartedly believe women entrepreneurs can rise together. Success comes in many flavors. There are no secret strategies. Women entrepreneurs are rewriting history by defining success on their own terms. Hi, I'm White Dove Gannon, the down-to-earth chick with a different name. Entrepreneur and founder of the Female Entrepreneur Movement, our business is dedicated to helping women start and grow their businesses, increasing financial independence. Each week, join me for inspiring stories and powerful interviews of women entrepreneurs sharing their lessons to success to help you take your business to the next level. Now, let's go for it. Welcome back to the FemNation podcast. Today, I have guest Dr. Anna Garrett, founder of DrAnnaGarrett.com, where she helps women in midlife navigate hormone imbalances in menopause and perimenopause. And I am sure that there is quite an amazing story behind what you do and the work that you do. But I want to thank you for coming on today.
Well, and I appreciate the invitation, and I'm thrilled to be here.
Wonderful. Tell me, first off, how did you start your entrepreneurial journey? What did that look like?
Well, I think it was accidental, actually. So I had always, I'm a pharmacist by training, and I had always had jobs in hospital pharmacy for the most part. And so I ended up in Asheville in 2008, and I had a job at Mission Hospital, our local hospital here. And I took a coach training certification program, and it was only because the people I was supervising were doing the same thing, and I wanted to see what they were learning. And they took the first level. Well, I finished the whole certification, and I knew that I wanted to have more flexibility and freedom in my life, because at that point I was 50, and I was like, yeah, I don't really want to keep working full time anymore. What can I do to get myself out of having to show up in the 9-to-5? So I was like, I'll do life coaching with women in midlife. And then I said to myself, well, you have a pharmacy degree that took you 6 years to get. That's really stupid to let that go. Okay. So I have a friend in North Carolina who does hormone consultations with women, and I went and spent the day with her. And by the time I left, I knew that was the combination that I was going to pursue, was the hormone consultations along with the life coaching layered on top. So my mom died, and I took 6 months to kind of just reorganize, regroup, and figure out what I wanted to do. And I hired a business coach that was a physician, and she and I put together what ultimately became DrAnnaGarrett.com.
Oh, that's fantastic. So tell me how long that took for you. What was that journey length?
Well, I actually had started kind of doing some things on the side while I was employed full time. So I would say it took me a couple of years to, really get all the pieces in place. But I continued to work part time and fill in our clinic until May of 2017. So it hasn't been all that long that I really just stepped fully into it and was able to support myself by doing this. And that's, sure. And that's something I think that people kind of get caught in the trap of, is all or nothing thinking, I either need to be doing the thing or I don't. And the truth is a lot of the people I know that have businesses kind of started as a ramp up sort of situation and didn't step away from their full-time employment until much later. And that's okay.
It is okay. Absolutely is okay. The journey and the road that you travel, each one of us as entrepreneurs travels to get to the point that we're at even today, is all okay.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, there's no handbook, and
no it's circuitous. I mean, it's all over the place. And right. Some days you're like, screw it, I'm not doing this anymore. And then the next day it's like, I'm in. And there are no 2 days that are the same.
There are not. And it will definitely, it's not for the faint of heart, but it will teach you something about yourself and really, really honestly give you an opportunity to become a better version of yourself. That's in my estimation as an entrepreneur. you look internally and you do a lot of internal investigation on who are you? You know, who am I? You know,
exactly.
Dealing with imposter syndrome or, you know, pigeonholing yourself in a box to only do one thing or, you know, choosing what that entrepreneurial journey looks like. Those are all different things that we learn to overcome that working in a 9-to-5 doesn't have as drastically, I would say. Not that that doesn't exist there, but it doesn't have as drastically. So let me ask you, in creating what you do now, you mentioned that, or when I opened the podcast, you help women in midlife navigate hormone imbalance in menopause and perimenopause. What landed you on that particular part?
Because I was my ideal client. And as a pharmacist, I had the background knowledge that I just needed to kind of beef up in the area of hormones specifically. And, you know, like I said, when I started the business, I was 50. So I was in the middle of perimenopause. When I was doing health coaching at the hospital, because that was part of my job, I got all the women who were 49 and they would come in and they go, I'm 49, I'm about to turn 50, X, Y, and Z is going on. What do you think? And I was like, huh, that's interesting. But you know, what really cemented it for me was I had one of my clients at the hospital who was telling me a story about how she ended up in the psych ward twice. And she said, once on the good side and once on the bad side. The good side is when you voluntarily commit yourself. The bad side is when you try to commit suicide.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And she said, I got put on all these meds, but I just knew that it was not a psychiatric problem. I felt like it was something hormonal. And sure enough, she got hooked up with a physician. This was long before I started this. And she said her hormones were all depleted. And so she got them all, you know, replaced and balanced. And she was like a new person. She got all the psych meds and she, you know, she truly was a new person. And I was like, I need to learn more about this and help people because I know that I can. And so that's, she is my story. I still see her. So it's great.
That's fantastic. How do women, predominantly women, obviously, but how do women come to realize that their hormones are affecting a lot of things in their life?
Well, a lot of them start to experience, you know, some vague things like insomnia or new anxiety, weight gain, you know, and they're in their early 40s and it's like something just feels kind of off. And some people never realize it. And then some people go to the extreme, like the woman I just told you about. But, you know, so many physicians aren't well informed about hormones. And so the women start digging around on Google and they start finding this stuff. And it is a truly an endless rabbit hole you can go down on Google.
Oh, yes.
With this stuff. And, some of them just get tired of trying to deal with it on their own. And then they find me or, you know, somebody else who can help them really get to the heart of what's going on instead of just trying stuff and seeing if something makes them better. Some make themselves worse before they get better, but it's, there's all kinds of flavors of women out there that are dealing with this that just aren't well educated about it. And there's no reason they should be because the information is good. Information is hard to find. And that's really why I wrote my book so that there would be sort of this compilation of what you need to know about perimenopause that you can learn about before you actually get there. That's my marketing challenge is getting women to know they need my book before they actually get there. But, I wanted it to be like the what to expect when you're expecting version for perimenopause and the end of the reproductive cycle instead of the middle.
Mm. What challenges did you face in putting that all down in a book?
I think the biggest challenge I faced was just my own fear of like, oh my God, I'm going to write a book. The content actually was not all that hard because I had written so many blog posts over the years about the different topics that I was going to include. So the beginning of this, of the writing of the book was cutting and pasting, you know, things that would be pertinent from the blog post. So that was easy. I was 20,000 words in before I ever got started good. But I think it was just the whole idea of having my face on a book and putting myself out there as an expert on hormones. I mean, I am, and that's fine. Sure. And I certainly own that, but just more publicity, because I'm by nature pretty introverted and I don't really like to be out in front of a bunch of people. So it's made me step up my game as far as being willing to be seen.
What is one thing that you overcame in order to kind of defeat that vulnerability?
Well, the biggest thing I did was a few years ago, because I was terrified of doing video. So the idea that I would get on here with you would have just been so foreign to me that I would have said, no, thank you. I took a video workshop because I knew that in order to really elevate myself, I was going to have some sort of presence that required me to get in front of people. And that actually is the best way I come across to people, is as most of us, that's true for almost all of us, I think, is that in-person connection. So I made myself, you know, spend the money and go to take a week to go do this video training. And it was really, really life-changing for me from a confidence standpoint. Mm-hmm. And so that's allowed me to now, you know, go out and do book signings and all the things that go along with adding new layers to your business.
Were you confident in the early stages of your business and in virtually writing the book? Do you feel like you were?
In the early stages, no. I mean, I wasn't confident, and I'm not sure I was competent. But so when I started, I basically worked with my trainer and my best friend and myself as my first three clients, and I basically worked with them for free. I said, you buy the test kit and I'll work with you for free. And so doing those started to build my confidence. I would raise my price. I'd do a few more, raise my price, do a few more. The book was not so much of a confidence thing because I hired a writing coach when I started the project. And the main reason I hired her, because I can write, is to keep me accountable. And so she was like, okay, every 2 weeks you have to send me a chapter. And I knew that that was exactly what I needed to keep moving forward. And so I would just take one step and then I would take the next step. And I tried not to look, you know, all the way down the road at what all was involved, but she was able to hook me up with all the resources I needed to get to the very end. So I didn't have as much trouble with that one as I did when I first got started.
And when you first got started with your business, did you just put one foot in front of the other and learn it as you go? Because there's no manual for being an entrepreneur, but I feel strongly after having interviewed quite a few women at this point that confidence comes in two ways. You either are confident and knowingly, like consciously confident, or you can create that confidence by moving forward. Mm-hmm. You know, so with time, that will create that confidence as well. But, and it seems like in a lot of the interviews that it's early on, the confidence maybe wasn't there. And I used to, you know, have conversations about imposter syndrome and that exists. You know, and I've run into it. Every entrepreneur is going to run into it. But I think we start diminishing imposter syndrome when that confidence builds, and that confidence can also be built by just moving forward.
By doing the thing. And doing it scared. When I first started even thinking about this business, I actually had one before this one that didn't work out so well, but, I worked with a business coach and we had a mastermind, and all of us were in the same boat. So we were all starting businesses. So having that support around me where we were all kind of feeling our way through it, even though we had a coach, you still got to do the work yourself, right?
Yep.
Knowing that there were other people in the same boat was really helpful for me, because if I had to figure all this out myself, I would have been like, nah, I'm good. I'll stay in my job.
It would have been overwhelming.
Yes, very much so.
Right. And so that brings up a question. How important was establishing a community for yourself in the various stages in your entrepreneur journey?
It was really important. I have never not had community in any stage of my business. So, and one of the things I, even though I'm introverted, I still like to be talking to people and getting out of my house, because being a solopreneur, it gets kind of lonely when you're sitting around in your house all day. And I actually rented an office space one day a week for a little while. Then we remodeled our house and I liked it so much that I decided I didn't want to leave, nor did I want to spend the money to rent the office. But I do try to be really intentional about getting together with friends for lunch or getting outside and going for a hike and just making sure that I have community. I'm not a great networker. Mm-hmm. I've tried to make myself like that and I just don't. So. Mm-hmm.
Not your jam. And that's
not
okay.
My jam, which is fine too.
Yeah. How did you learn to get out of your own way?
By doing the things and being either successful or somewhat successful and knowing, okay, I can take the next step. That just takes practice.
It does.
That's a really good question. I haven't really thought about the answer to that because I have been in my own way quite a bit. I think trusting that, and this is just from experience, just trusting that things are going to work out, and it may not work out like I originally think they're going to work out, but it seems to me that there is always something good that comes out of, you know, whatever project I'm working on, whether it's financially successful or not. I always learn something. And in that learning, I learned to get out of my way and just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
What, if that makes sense.
It does. It does, because we're our biggest obstacle, actually.
Oh, totally.
It's funny. The world can be believing in us that we're just like, hey, no, we are
I'm
not.
I'm going to stay right here.
I know. So it's always fun to, you know, to kind of find out where we see ourselves in our own way too, you know, where we learn to remove ourselves, step around. And to your point on answering that question, for me, my biggest in my own way was thinking of the path to perceived success, or, you know, what success benchmarks I had set for myself was linear. Mm-hmm. But it's not, you know? And so once I learned to embrace that it ebbs and flows and it goes back and forth, and sometimes you're really close to it and then sometimes it kind of pulls away a little bit and then comes back. Ultimately, I'm still going towards that goal.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, once I not only just realized it, but let go of the expectation of having to get from point A to point B in a complete straight path, then things didn't become so difficult.
Well, and it's interesting that you say that, because in the past, you know, I've worked with various people who are like, you got to hustle, 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 hustle. And this summer, I went to Italy in the middle of May for 3 weeks. And, you know, I was just like, I'm done. I'm just tired. And I just decided, you know, all of this striving and hustle, hustle, hustle is not me. That is not who I am. And so I have just kind of taken a step back from that. And I've been like, all right, I'm going to get out there. I'm going to do some things, but I'm not going to make it be life or death. Right. And business has never been better.
Well, a little bit of a detachment from an outcome. You
right.
know, I mean, when we detach from driving hard for a particular outcome and let the outcome be a little bit more, you know, not so defined, you know, bull pointed, yes, but then there's also circles around it.
Right.
But detaching from it having to be right smack in the middle, it becomes easier.
Yeah. And just, you know, I don't listen to what other people tell me anymore. I mean, all this business about you got to have a multi six figure business and 7 figure. No, I don't have to have that.
No. And the funny thing is that in my intro to the very first episode I did, I mentioned that success we need to not project our version of success on somebody else's another woman entrepreneur's business, because the problem is maybe that's not even in her sights as successful. Maybe she only wants to make, you know, something comfortable and contribute to the house, but enjoys her life. And that's what she wants to do. Maybe she just wants to be able to afford something for her kids, you know, that mm-hmm. she didn't have growing up. That's success, you know, but we have in this ever evolving world of being an entrepreneur that seems to be going lightning fast these days, we have, you know, the benchmarks of success are still financial, mm-hmm. you know, multiple six, seven, eight figures. I mean, if you're an eight figure entrepreneur, you're like the cat's meow, you know, but that's what is projected as. And yet they have their own, you know, those benchmarks of success for them. One, did they actually, you know, choose to be successful that way, or did they build a great business that ended up being successful? We don't know their journey either, right. necessarily, you know, but at the same time, we're projecting that their success was hitting that financial number, where I was just like, I need to not project that on somebody else. You know, so once I freed myself up from projecting what I viewed other people's success as, all of a sudden mine was more obtainable.
Yeah. And so mine is about how much time I get to spend with my granddaughter and yep. whether I can go to South Africa for 2 weeks and Italy for 3 weeks and do the things that I really want to do at this point in my life. Cause right. you know, I turn 60 tomorrow and it's like
one happy birthday to milestone. That's a milestone.
Yeah. But it sounds really old. but it does really kind of bring into perspective. It's like, what do I want to be doing with my time at this mm-hmm. point in my life? And we all have those points in our lives where mm-hmm. our priorities just shift. And if, you know, and I think 50 kind of was it for me when I started to think about, okay, do I really want to be working 40 hours a week for people who would step over my cold, lifeless body if I happened to drop dead at work? We're not. So
hire someone else.
Yeah, exactly. So that was when I really started to give some conscious consideration to where am I going to invest my time? Mm-hmm. And now it's another 10 years later. And so I'm like, I need to further refine that. So I don't have a big business. I don't want a big business. I don't want a bunch of people to manage. I just want to help some women and live my life. It's that simple.
Right. And make an impact in, yeah. in your slice of the world.
Right.
Yeah. What's one thing you know now that you wish you knew at the beginning of your entrepreneurial journey?
That it's all going to be okay. And if you put the effort in, you may not be able to see what's down the road, but what comes out will be good. And mm-hmm. I wish I had been able to see that when I was just kind of like grinding and grinding and grinding. Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid to set your business up to fit your lifestyle instead of the other way around, because there are too many women that I see that are trying to twist themselves into a pretzel and serve everybody in the world. And the reason you start a business, I mean, one of them is to have that freedom and flexibility. And so take advantage of that and take mm-hmm. care of yourself, because you need to be energized to be effective in your business, and your health is all you really have behind that business.
Right. I mean, that is our 401k plan.
Yeah, exactly.
As an entrepreneur, you know, now
and somebody once said to me, you only get one suitcase. So, and this is it.
Yes. That's so well said. You only get one suitcase. So don't kick it around.
That's you know, right.
Don't leave it at the terminal.
Yeah.
Don't jump on it to try to stuff everything in it. Yeah,
exactly.
That's a great analogy right there. What's the name of your book?
It is called Perimenopause, The Savvy Sister's Guide to Hormone Harmony.
And tell me who specifically should be seeing this, reading this book that's before, like you were mentioning.
Women in that 38 to 45 age range. Because perimenopause can start pretty early for some women. So they're late 30s. And then like for me, it started really late, but anybody in that sort of window, that's probably a good 80% of the women that I encounter.
And what would be a conversation starter or something that maybe the listeners, it would kind of that age group that should be reading the book, would hear to say, I should read that book. What is it that they're going to be able to know ahead of time? Are they going to, you know, be able to catch these things as they're happening?
Mm-hmm. So sometimes what happens is these subtle things that look like a lot of other things like anxiety and insomnia and weight gain can be caused by any number of things. And what I want is for women to have a working knowledge of what those physical changes are going to look like, mm-hmm. and to know that there are steps they can take initially to make their experience much better. So if you're in that age range, for instance, cleaning up your diet or thinking about your alcohol consumption, because that can really impact how you experience perimenopause. And also to be able to go and have an educated conversation with your doctor about what your options are and what you want for your hormone health as you go through menopause. Because one of the things I really work on in my business is teaching women to be their own advocates for their own health. A lot of women are very afraid to go into a doctor's office because they don't know enough to have that conversation. So they just basically get a prescription handed to them and off they go. Mm-hmm. And that's not what they want necessarily. So some people don't want antidepressants or birth control pills or all of the things that are our typical band-aids during perimenopause. So I want them to be able to talk to their doctor and to know the things self-care wise that they can do to impact their own health.
And you kind of give those guidelines in the book.
I totally do. Yep.
That's excellent. And in fact, is something that I know all women at that age really need to inform ourselves. And I can say from experience, because I've looked it up online, because I'm 42, mm-hmm. and you know, there's some things I'm like, I wonder, or nothing drastic at this point. But at the same time, or nothing appearing to be drastic, I should say. But it was conflicting. It was massively conflicting in the online space to try to navigate that mm-hmm. myself, to the point where it was like, I'm gonna out myself on total personal stuff here, but to the point where it was like, no way could you be perimenopause at 41 or 42. No way. You have to be closer to 50. And then it was like, oh, yes, you can at, 36, 37, there's stuff. And I was just like, okay, so am I not? And I visit my doctor once a year. And if I have anything in the meantime, I the door is open to go visit with her, but she just says, she does her, checks and says, you're good. Blood work's good. Hormones are good. Cause I was like, okay, I need to test hormones. Cause I was like, maybe my thyroid's going to go out, or maybe it's going out, or I don't know, all these things you hear. And so she's like, you're healthy. You're perfectly healthy. I was like, all right. But yet, this or this or that, so there's just, and the doctor doesn't have time to, go down a whole list of all these things. If I don't know the questions coming in, then there's still the possibility, high possibility, that I'm going to walk out still not knowing, because on paper, I'm testing out great. Everything looks fine, but they're not testing the bandwidth of if I'm close to it or, there's no way to know. So for me to educate myself as a woman that does consume knowledge and does want to be educated on it, that would be beneficial. So I'm speaking,
absolutely,
or I'm speaking into this for the listeners because of my experience alone. I was like, I am probably more confused now about it trying to Google search it than I would have been if I could just read something from someone that just says, look, this is where it's at. This is what it is. And this is what you can do.
Well, you can look stone cold normal on a set of blood work, but the ranges for hormones are so huge, you can still be completely imbalanced and look normal on paper.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate that you took the time to write this book and, move yourself forward. And I want to make sure that I thank your accountability coach, your accountability writer coach, to keep you working on it, because it's a book that's needed.
I think she's the one that hooked me up with you, actually.
How fantastic is that?
That's right.
Look how that circle goes around.
No, it isn't the world a small place?
It's not so big after all. tell me, tell the listeners, where can we connect with you?
You can find me at www.drannagarrett.com. You can find me on Facebook at Dr. Anna Garrett. That's my Facebook page. And I have a private Facebook group where we talk about all things hormone related. It's called the Hormone Harmony Club. So it is private. So nobody's going to see, you know, what you post in there. I'm in there all the time. I can't answer specific medical questions, but I certainly dig into a lot of the generalities. I'm on Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn. I am all of the places. But the easiest way to get me, if you want to ask a specific question, is info@drannagarrett.com. And on my site, I do have a perimenopause quiz, so you can go through a list of symptoms and kind of sort out where you might be on that spectrum. And I also have a download of the first chapter of my book if people want to take advantage of that free.
Those are nice, nice little things to have for people to check out. I want to make sure though that, where can we find your book? I wanted to list that.
Amazon, is one place. Hang on a second. Don't you love it when your guests just run off?
No, you're totally
fine. This is
fine.
My book. You can get it at perimenopausebook.com, or it is also on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Kobo. I think those are the three places where it's at.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Thank you for coming on today.
Thank you for having me. I love talking about my book.
I know. And I love that your book exists. And I'm pretty sure that's going to be my next go-to for figuring out what my world looks like as, you know, coming into that era.
Well, I know I'm biased, but I highly recommend it. I've had a lot of feedback on it, and people say it's really easy to understand and written in a way that just, you know, flows well and makes perfect sense.
Excellent. All right, guys, I want to close this out today by just honoring Dr. Anna Garrett for being on here, but also with you guys checking out the show notes and feeling free to have that conversation with her, reach out and talk to her. Maybe it's something that came up in your thoughts today that, oh, wait, maybe I do need to know a question. Like, I had no idea I was going to think about it myself. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute, that would be really great information for me to have. So as it was enlightening for me, I am happy that it's enlightening for you, and definitely reach out and ask her those questions and she'll steer you in the right direction. As always, thank you, Dr. Anna, and keep moving forward.
Thanks for listening to the FemNation podcast. Be sure to check out our show notes for more details from the episode. If you love the show, share it with a friend or drop me a note. I'd love to hear from you over at whitedovegannon.com or find me on social media. Until next time, keep moving forward.